I'm Ben. I'm your chaplain here for Faith Based Missionary Ministries. And the topic tonight is stir up the gift of God that is in you. That's 2 Timothy 1:6. And I'd be willing to argue that each and every single one of us, if you can't see me, please turn your chair so that we can all be engaged. I'd be willing to argue that each and every single one of us in this room has a gift. Because the Word says that we have a gift. And we're given a gift. And the first gift is life. Amen?
Amen.
The first gift that we received was life. You can't argue with me because you're listening to me, right? Unfortunately, you're stuck listening to me for a minute. But you think about this, from day one, we've had all kinds of hobbies. When we were kids, Legos, bikes, skateboards, you know, radios, whatever it may be, right? We had all these different things, and we tend to be good at certain things, and we've been good at certain things. And through our lifetime, those things have changed, which is natural. Paul said, when I was a man, I no longer did the things of the child. I put the childish things away, but we've been groomed to always have some sort of gift. You know, I mean, originally, it was hard probably for me to know what my gift was, but they would probably buy me toys when I was young. I'd always get in trouble for taking them apart. Right? I'd always take them apart. I could never put them back together. They'd be broken. I'd be in trouble. I had a knack for taking everything apart when I was little. I just wanted to know what made it work. I started getting older. And then I probably found out, like many of you guys, I could probably relate to Kenny, is I was really good at crime. Right? I felt like I had a knack for types of crime, I guess. And you think to yourself, how could that be used to benefit God? When he says in the verses, I cause all things to work for the good for those that love the Lord according to his will and that are called to his name. Amen. Right? So you start thinking about my history. 20 years wrapped up. I had a lot of history, a lot of business experience, right? Yeah. Inventory, maybe, right? Management, right? Like, that don't make sense then. It don't make sense then, but look at me now, today. I'm a Fortune 500 company. Manager over 2,200 people. But it's the same skill set that I've always had. Amen, right? Amen, yes or no?
Yeah.
And it don't matter if I've got orange on today. It don't matter if I got a dress shirt on today. How many of you guys was here the other day, Lyle speaking? He said, I don't wear them clothes no more. Amen, right? But you absolutely still have those skill sets. But if I'm called to live for the Lord, then obviously he's groomed me for a purpose. Amen, right? He brings me and sets me back down in my own ministry with my own people. Amen, yes or no? Right? To tell you that you have a gift, and God says in 2 Timothy, stir it up. Stir it up. I don't want to wake up tomorrow and think to myself that I ain't got nothing because I ain't nobody and I've been through this and I can't forgive myself and I got all this history that I don't have a future today. Right? Because of who I am and what I've been through because I'm too old now. Right? Yes or no?
Yeah.
How many times you wake up and you tell yourself, man, I've gone too far this time. I hope I'm going to get back this time. But here we are. At church on Monday night, amen, right?
Amen.
I don't believe in coincidences. There's no such thing as a coincidence. Every single one of us walked in here tonight because God called us and encouraged us to be here, amen?
Amen.
Me too. We could be at home watching TV right now. Yes or no? But we came here for a reason. Why? Because God's word is available to us and we're aware that he's speaking to us and calling us. We may be on different walks right now. We may be in different places right now, but we are all going to the same place. And I'm going to argue that we all have gifts that God has instilled with us from birth. You know, we got cars, bikes, hunting, gym, fishing, TV, you know, reading, poker, kids, Legos, puzzles, sports, games, skateboards, BMX. It's in our DNA. From day one, we've had gifts. We just didn't know how to capitalize on these different abilities that we've all had. But the Bible says that we are all one, but several members of one another. And that's part of the reason why we must be you know, somewhat different in many ways. Because you can reach a different part of the body of Christ than I can. Amen, right? Right? I mean, you have an entire group of people that you're exposed to regularly that aren't exposed to me. I'm exposed to a group of people that maybe not exposed to you, but we're all called for that one purpose. And that's kind of what the Great Commission was. He said, go, you know, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And then he says, lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. As he reminds us that, you know, this is not simple. That it may not be simple, but I'm going to be with you. And I realize that walking the walk, right? I'm more of a fan of walking the walk than talking the talk, right? Amen? Mm-hmm. Tired of talk. We can all make it sound real good. And I've heard it. I've had times where I'm working with people today where it sounds good. And I want to believe them. But then, you know, you watch long enough and all of that sound don't line up with that work. Amen, right? Yes or no? But it isn't necessarily, but it's to look myself in the mirror is what I'm talking about. What am I saying today? Amen? When you go home and you look in that mirror, if you ain't lining up to who you say you are, then the mirror's telling you to get right. Amen, right? Go out there and observe all that I commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always. But Luke 16:19-31 said, but he said to him, if they didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen to someone who rises from the dead. He said, what he means by that is, or be persuaded by. But one of the arguments that I like to put into play in today's ministry is those of the people that knew me very well and see me today cannot deny biblical transforming power. If you look in your life right now and you say, I'm not exactly where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. I hear people say that all the time, right? But what I want to say is somebody encouraged me to start to administer my faith in my life. And when I did that, I noticed that things began to change for me. Can anybody agree with that? Yeah. Amen? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you look at these different skill sets and all this experience and all these things that we've been through, and then God turns around and puts us in place to use our abilities for the good and to grow. And then you watch that change. You know, I woke up one day, I didn't curse anymore. Woke up one day, wasn't angry anymore. How many testimonies have we heard when people said, the more I've been exposed to that word, the more I've surrendered to God's will, that it healed me. Right, amen? Yeah. The word itself says it's able to make you whole again. In Matthew 5:13 says, you're the salt of the earth. Mark 9:50, salt's good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, what with it will you make salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. You know, see, he's just saying that and the kind of thing that I think about right there is you may be the only Bible that somebody else reads. If you're exposed to the Word, and the Word's encouraging you, and somebody else is on the sideline, and they might not be talking about it, you might not even hear about it, but they're watching you. And they're thinking to themselves, he's got something that I want, but I don't trust it yet. Because it don't ever work for me. It ain't gonna work for me. Nothing else will work for me. Right? So I'm watching this guy that says he's a Christian man, and God knows how many times we fall down. I mean, we have. Yes or no, we have. But the Bible said righteous man falls down seven times. What? Seven times he gets up. He gets back up, right? No matter how many times you knock me down. If I get back up and then accredit that strength of my faith, then I'm doing the right thing. I'm moving along. But if we may be the only Bible somebody reads, and if you are the salt, right, then you need to affect all of that around you. Just like when you put salt on steak and you take a bite, you don't say, dang, that salt's meaty. You know what I mean, right? You don't. Right? You say, man, this meat's salty, right? Or, you know what I mean? Fries are salty. The salt's not fried. I don't know. The light affects the darkness. I wish I was closer to the switch. But I don't care. I'm going over here. Look. Here's the darkness in our life, right? Here's God coming into our life, right? The light affects the dark. The dark doesn't affect the light. But see, in our minds, when we're right in front of that challenge, when we're right in front of those things that try to sway us from those truths, a lot of times that darkness can pull us off our path. I'm not making my bills. I'm not living where I want to be. I'm in a situation I don't know the answer to. I'm stressed out because of these things, right? That darkness comes in. And we talked about the eye of the storm a couple weeks ago. Covered that pretty good of where we are and how we're dealing with that. But the light affects the darkness. So if I have faith today in my life, just as much as those lights came on and we could see again, so much is God affecting those things, those challenges, those hurdles in our lives. And we just have that faith that we know that that's how he is and who he is. But he says that we have these gifts. And he says, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls with a sincere love for the brethren, fervently love one another with a heart that you have been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and its glory is like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, it falls off, but the word of God abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. And he's saying, so we being, you know, transient creatures are really temporary. Amen? And it doesn't seem that way because we're here, we've got our experience, we've been there for a long time. I don't know, many of you guys have done time. I've done a lot of time. During the middle of that, it seemed like it was forever before it was going to come. I remember sitting, you know, facing 45 years plus a 3 to 18. And I'm 18, 19 months in the county waiting to get charged federally. That seemed like 15 years every day. You know, it just seemed like time wasn't going by, but really, here I am, I'm already 42. It's way more than halfway over, and I've surprised everybody that I've made it this far, right? Thanks be to God, right? But if you go back and you ask them, you know, how long do you think he's going to live? They're probably saying, 21, 23 if he's lucky, you know? I don't know how we made it to 42. God does. But you think about my life and just being the fact that everything that I'm exposed to in the world is fading away. It's fading away. And that's the reason why I couldn't have been the answer. That's the reason why I was never groomed to be attached to the world. That's the reason why addiction never succeeds. That's the reason why if I switch from beer to wine and wine to liquor, or from, you know, whatever to whatever to whatever, whatever, and how we tell ourselves that I'm just going to do this and I'm just going to do that. Amen. You been there or not? Yeah. Right? I'm just going to drink beer now. I don't know what happened last weekend, but I'm going to clear liquors. You know, right? We tell ourselves all kinds of things, you know, because we're just going to keep rocking down that path. But the end result is, if drinking was going to work, I wouldn't have had to drink again. If smoking and partying, you know, being out there was going to work, I'd still be out there, right? I would have been all right. But the reality is, none of that stuff worked because Sheol and Abaddon never satisfied soul of the hearts of men. What he's talking about is that pit, as hungry as that pit is for us, so is our lust for that world, but the world's fading away. So every time I put my faith and my strength and my thought process into that world, I'm setting myself up for failure. But he said, that's not what was preached to you. What was preached to you is the word of truth, and this word of truth is the Lord's, and it abides forever. Yeah. Amen, right? So we finally found something strong enough to face the enemy in the mirror. I mean, yes or no? Right? As many enemies as we ever had in our entire lives, could anybody affect us more than we did ourselves? No. Yes or no? No, we've taken some hits. Life ain't fair. Things happen. But nobody has mistreated you as much as you have mistreated yourself. Am I wrong? How do I know this? Because here I am at home with you, where I came from. Right? I know this. Because for 22, 25 years I was in the game, telling myself every single thing I could do. Changed the rules 56 times because I was going to, you know, had it figured out. And finally, I found the one thing that had the strength to teach me to be who I was really intended to be. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So neither one who plants or neither one is watering is anything but the God who causes the growth. Now he who plants
and plants and waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers and are God's field, but God's doing the building. And this is another thing, you know, on a mentor end of things that even me and Mark were talking about earlier, is sometimes it's discouraging when you work with a large group of people with a high failure rate. But the reality is, I did sit here. I came here from federal and state prison and sat here this time, and here I am standing. Amen? I want that for you too. But there would have been several times that you could have talked to me where I would have really appreciated everything you've done for me and might need some more. But the reality is, in the back of my mind, I knew I still had some more noodles. You know what I mean? I knew I had a few more noodle cups left in it. I wasn't done. I still had a plan. There were some pigs in the backyard. You know what I mean? I had a few things that I still just hadn't addressed yet. And no matter how hard you could have talked to me, I still, in the back of my mind, went through every single program that they have available, told them everything that they wanted to hear, signed every paperwork I needed to sign so I could get everything off my ankle, get them off my back. And then what am I going to do? The day that I get free, my cousin be there for me. Let's celebrate. How are we going to celebrate? Let's get locked up. You know what I mean? But it didn't sound that way. That wasn't what he was saying. That wasn't what I was thinking. But dang, that's exactly how it works. Because I go over there, and I, the whole time that God dragged me out, the first run, the second run, the third run, I'd be drying out. He'd be working on me, working on me, working on me. I'd be committing. But then you get back out there, show on the bad and never satisfied, so the hearts of men. You take that one tiny step in that direction to shave that integrity, and you say, oh, that's all right. That's all right. Do that a little bit some more. And then and then, and then and then, oh, but this time I ain't going to do that. I'm just going to do this. Right? I had to figure it out. You're never going to hit me for nothing hard again. And then wham, 45 years, 87.5%, and a 3 to 18. I thought for sure weed wasn't going to get me in trouble. 500 kilograms later. Right? 45 years. Plus a 3 to 18. Half my friends gone. 35 doors kicked in at 6 a.m. at the same time, 2011. All my best friends, half of them still locked up. Well, all but seven of us got out within 6 months. What's that say about your tribe? Right? What's that going to say about your tribe? They said, well, you better sign the paper. We're going to give you what we give you, or you're going to go to trial is what you're going to get. One of my best friends, they brought him a piece of paper that said 2011-deceased. He said, if you go to trial, you will never, ever see the street again. And he signed a 27-year plea bargain and won't be out until he's almost 70 years old. That's over with. Right? But you don't think that. What about the babies? What about the nephews? Right? What about the... This is a good guy. Right? Because we know him. Right? You know, but the reality of it is we don't necessarily think that way. Right? This ain't going to happen to me. I got this under control. But how many times have we failed and God is grooming us and grooming us and grooming us for a better purpose than this? Amen? Amen. And that's really what I want to bring the focus back to. See, Isaiah says, for the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear fruit and sprout, furnishing the seed to the sower and the bread to the eater. So shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, that it shall not return to me void or empty without accomplishing what I deserve and succeeding in the matter for which I've sent it. So you remember, God said, and lo, I am with you always. So when we start looking at being attached to the word of God instead of attached to the world that's fading away, and God said that his word goes forth and does not return to him without accomplishing what he said it would do. Amen? That means that no matter where I am, who I am, or what I've been through, if I'm with God right now, he's taking me places that he said he's going to take me. Amen? But I got to hold on to him. I got to hold on to him. I always think of the verses that Isaiah said, the Lord's hand's not so short that he can't reach, But it's your sin that separates you from God. I think about daily life. We talk about venial sins and serious sins and different types. We want to measure our types of stuff because we want to feel better. But the reality is, if I'm sinning in my life today, I'm separating God from me. But the reality is, I'm holding on to God because I know He's going to take me somewhere. Amen? So I keep coming back to this crossroads that I want God to be in my life and I want to hold on to His Word. Because He said in His Word that it will accomplish what He said it will do. And I can have faith that He will work in me and take me there. Amen? Just like I can have faith that I can see in the other people around me who are strong in their faith and look at where they've gone. Amen, right? Yes or no? So I want to talk about this. Matthew 19, 25 through 26 said, the disciples asked Jesus, then who will be saved? And He answered, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I want to give you that verse. Tonight's our new memorization. I want you guys to say it with me. Luke 1:37 says, for nothing is impossible with God. Amen. I want you to say it, though, with me. For nothing is impossible with God. And the reason why I want you to say it is because I want you to believe it. Right? It benefits me. It does, because I do believe it. I believe 100% that nothing is impossible with God. But I also have to have somewhat of a realistic mindset so that I don't go home and say, I'm hitting the Powerball tonight because nothing is impossible with God, right? I'm like, man, it's a 1 in 7 billion chance. Okay, I got a statistic for you. Do you know that it's more likely to be attacked by a polar bear and a regular bear in the same day than it is to win the lottery? Right? Right? But man, we'll be in line with them tickets. Right? You know, I've done it. I'm not going to lie. They'd be like, man, Mega Million, 600 million, you better get in there right now. Think about what good that could do. Right? But the statistics say you got better luck or better odds of being attacked by a polar bear and a regular bear in the same day than winning the lottery. How many polar bears you guys seen in person? Right? I don't even remember if I've seen a polar bear. So I'm like, you know what? Odds of winning the lottery aren't going to work. But I'll tell you what. Odds of keeping your lights on by going to work every single day does work. Amen, right? Amen? Amen. Amen. Right? It's going to take something. I've got a Romans 12:4. He said, just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function, but we are many. And we in one body of Christ, but individually members of one another. And that's another mindset that God is always going to preach. There's not a single person in this room worth more than the person next to them, period, hands down, no matter who you are. We are members of one body. Yeah. Right? Amen? We are all one person, all of one purpose, all for one truth, individually for our own skill set. And there's no one more important than anyone else. And as soon as I can get that through my thick head, I stop running people over on the highway, not going the speed limit, right? Amen? Because they're just as important to Him as I am. But man, I want to run them over sometimes. They just, road rage is the worst. But I think about this. So what did we start? We started talking about talents and hobbies and gifts. And I want to bring this parable to you guys that I have marked right here. It's Matthew 25:14. Matthew 25:14. It's the parable of the talents. And I'd like to talk about it in a way that maybe you guys haven't thought about this before. 25:14 says, for it's just like a man that goes out on a journey and called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Each according to their own ability, and went on his way. So he called out his servants, and he gave 1 5, gave 1 2, gave 1 1. He had several servants, right? Each according to their own ability. I want you to catch that. So then he went on a journey. So immediately, the one that received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one that received 2 talents went and gained 2 more. But the one that received 1 talent went away, dug a hole, put it in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now for a long time the master of the servants came and settled accounts with him. The one that had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, to you, you've entrusted me 5 talents. See, I gained you 5 more. Master said to him, Well and done, good and faithful servant. You who were faithful with few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into joy in the house of your master. Also, the one that received 2 talents came up and said, You entrusted me 2 talents, and see, I've gained you 2 more. Master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You who were faithful with few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. But the one who had received 1 talent came up to the master, and I knew you'd be a hard and reaping where you didn't sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid. I went away. I hid your talent in the ground. See, I've given back what was yours. But the master said to them, You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I didn't sow, gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to put my money in the bank. Where a rival, I would have received money with interest. Therefore, I'm going to take away from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who does not have, even what he does not have, shall be taken away. And I want to think about this just really quick. They're talking about talents, which can be broken down into money. But I want you guys to think about your hobbies, your skill set, your abilities, right? Talents. 2 Timothy 6:1, stir up the gift of God that is in you, your ability. God said, I'm going to bless you with an ability, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to send you away, and I'm going to call you upon it. I'm going to expect you to use it. And when you do use it, not only do you use that, I'm going to give you more. Because you were faithful with few things, I am going to give you many things. Amen, right? Amen. So we're always trying to think about, how can I grow? How am I going to move forward? How am I going to be according to God's calling, and then move my new path into this world from the place that I'm starting over again? And I think about where I started over, where I was not faithful with many things that I did have. Amen, right? And what happened? They got taken away. And where'd they go? They went into the new city county building, I guess. I don't know. All my cars, bikes, everything. I mean, it's gone. But then he started me over again. And he started me over on A block, then D block, then Fed, then Westville. Then put me back here at this Bible study. And he said, be faithful with little things. You who have never been faithful with many things. And learn what it's like to earn few things. Amen, right?
Amen. Amen.
And then earn those few things and build on those few things. And look back 6 years and say, whoo, I'm being faithful now with many things. Yes or no? Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And that's what he's saying to you. And that's what he's saying in this word. And that's what he's saying to each and every single one of us. That when we become faithful for the few things that we do have, God watches us. And he watches over his word to perform it. And when he sends his word forth, it doesn't receive empty without accomplishing what he wants it to do. But our job is to become in alignment with God's word. Amen. So when God's word speaks up in our life, when our conscience speaks up in our life, when we hear that tug of on our heart, we got to listen. Amen. Yes? Right? We got to start using these talents. And Paul, knowing this, locked up, waiting for death, knows they're going to assassinate him. Philippians 1:12, he said, For I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ is well known throughout the whole Praetorian guard to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more encouragement to speak the word of God without fear. Amen? That's such an amazing thing to understand that God gave him a purpose. Even though he was incarcerated, he was fulfilling that purpose. And the reality of it is, when you start to think about how transient we are and how much of a small period of time we're really going to be here, for God to restore us now here, so that he can restore us, and then we can then finally become the people we needed to be for the ones below us and around us. Amen, right?
How many of us got people dependent on us right now? Right? How would we like to be the kind of example that we knew we should have been then? Right? We can break that chain. We can break that chain. We can start following God's word right now. We start using our talents and our gifts and our abilities for the Lord. Amen. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to be rewarded. He said to each has his own reward. Yeah. But he said, do all you do in Christ's name. And when I can align myself that way and I can take those gifts and encourage you guys that are blessed to stir up the gift of God that is in you. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's pray.